One of the mysteries and often debated topics in the church is the power of prayer. I've heard people talk of the amazing power of prayer, and given my own experience, I wholeheartedly believe in the power of prayer. My experience tells me that prayer works. I know of people who've made, frankly, miraculous recoveries from illness in such a way that can only be described as the power of prayer. I'm convinced from experience that God answers prayers. That's why I usually finish my prayer of thanksgiving and intercession with, "We pray with expectation." Because if we don't, what's the point? I know that God doesn't always answer our prayers in the way we expect. And that can be frustrating. But it doesn't change my belief in the power of prayer. And there's an interesting incident in Acts 12 that we heard beautifully read, that affirms that God answers prayers. Herod Antipas was persecuting Christians. Now, this Herod Antipas was the son of Herod the Great. And it was Herod the Great that ordered all male children under 2 to be killed when he was trying to hunt out the baby Jesus. Well, this Herod Antipas is his son. And like his father, he was an insecure ruler. He was always trying to gain political popularity with the people. As Antipas's people were Jewish, he persecuted Christians only to gain popularity, only because it was a vote winner. And it's against that background, as we heard, that Peter found himself in prison, waiting for Antipas to put him on trial. And these trials were just a joke. They were a mockery. The trials were a sham, and the only outcome that was expected was death for Peter. We heard they'd already put another one of the disciples to death. That was a vote winner, so okay, we'll try Peter next. Let's see if I can get more popularity. The early Christians were rightly worried about Peter's predicament. And Acts tells us that they prayed unceasingly. Prayed unceasingly for his release. They gathered in someone's house to pray for Peter's release. We're not told whose house. It's not important. It is a precedent though. Because we still meet together in house groups and we pray. We have our prayer meeting here, 7:30 this Thursday, in the West Room, please. We still meet together. And we still pray when people are having problems. We pray for various things. But do we pray with expectation? That's a question. Most of us have had to face challenges at some time in our lives. But back to Peter in prison. Acts 12, verse 5, tells us that the church was praying earnestly to God for Peter. Praying earnestly. Praying unceasingly. Wow. That's a commitment that I don't think I've experienced. I've taken part in overnight prayer vigils. But to be honest, after the first 2 hours, I'm kind of counting the clock. What time is it now? You know, I have to confess, there's not been much unceasing prayer or earnest prayer from Mike Gargrave. And I don't think I'm alone. Not that that's an excuse. Praying earnestly to God for Peter. And that's an imitation of Christ's prayer in the Garden of Gethsemane. Luke 22 tells us of Jesus praying earnestly. That's the words on script. Jesus prayed earnestly to God before his arrest and passion. As we read Luke 22, verse 44, we'll note an important aspect of Jesus' prayer. What was it Jesus prayed? What did we pray not half an hour ago? Thy will be done. Thy will be done. Hold on a minute. Most of my prayers are, my will be done. Because if I'm praying for somebody who's ill, I want them to get better. I want them to be healed. If I'm praying for Maxwell, I know the outcome I want for Maxwell. I have to confess, not only do I not pray earnestly and unceasingly, if I'm being honest, when I pray the words, thy will be done, but I'm really hoping that, Lord, I really hope my will is in line with yours, or else I'm going to be a wee bit disappointed. Are we not the same? Thy will be done. When we pray, we tend to ask for our own solutions to the problems we're praying over. We have the answer to our problem. It's just beyond our grasp, so we need God to deliver. We don't allow God to do the unexpected. And so we keep God in this little box of our own making. We miss answered prayer because we don't expect it. It's not in line with what we're praying for, or perhaps it's not in line with our expectation. In Peter's case, God had done the unexpected. The church were praying for Peter, and as they were praying for God's will to be done, Peter was freed. He's making his way from the prison across to the city. He came to the place where the Christians were praying and knocked on the gate. One of the Christians, Rhoda, who was a servant girl, crossed the courtyard to answer the door. But before she answered it, she recognized Peter's voice. Here's Peter saying, "Let me in. I've been freed, let me in. I want to join you." She didn't believe it. Could it be Peter? No, he's in jail. We're praying for him to be released. And then she got excited. She didn't even open the door. She just ran through the courtyard into the others and said, "It's Peter. It's Peter." And again, the Christians were suspicious. They were praying for something else completely. "Lord, release Peter. Keep him from harm." Never thinking that might actually happen. And here he is, knocking on the very gate of the house they're in. Peter's standing outside, waiting to be let in. And finally, they go to the door. And then their words are revealing. They opened the door and were amazed to see him. Why were they amazed? They were praying he should be released. Why didn't they expect what they were praying for? It's pretty daft when you think about it. But maybe not so daft that we don't recognize it. They were amazed to see him. Did that not sum up their approach to prayer? We pray faithfully to God over an issue, and then the answer finally stands at the door, trying to get through, and we either don't recognize it or we're amazed. Says something about our approach to prayer. And we're amazed because underneath our most earnest prayer is a lack of conviction. It's a lack of expectation that our prayer would be answered. And that's what's wrong with much of our praying. Far too often we pray with an attitude of, "Don't expect much, didn't get much. Don't expect much, didn't get much. Ah, well, we'll try again." Our prayers can be so superficial because they lack expectation. It's only by God's grace that our prayers are fruitful. And we must believe in God's grace when we pray. Otherwise, we're wasting our time. And we maybe even be wasting God's time, and that's a dangerous thing to do. Jesus warns us about praying prayers of repetition. We can improve our prayers and our praying by following two principles. Two principles. And the two principles of prayer go together like two sides of the arch. They meet in the middle. Think of an arch, two sides, and then they meet. First, pray for what you have a right to expect. Pray for what you have a right to expect. And secondly, expect what you have a right to pray for. Pray for what you have a right to expect, then expect what you have the right to pray for. It only takes a moment of reflection to make clear that there's things we have no right to pray for. The ancient Greeks said, when the gods punish us, they answer our prayers. That can sometimes be the case for us. When the gods want to punish us, they answer our prayers. Some of you, not thinking of anybody in particular, but Paul Cathcart comes to mind, may be praying for a certain result later on this afternoon. But as Paul prays for that result, and probably 50,000 others pray for that result, what about the team they want to beat? What about, it's Kilmarnock, isn't it? What about Kilmarnock fans? Okay, that's a triviality. It's a trivial way of doing it. But sometimes we pray for our team to win. And we pray that earnestly. Sometimes we pray for wealth. American evangelists, TV evangelists, send us your dollars and you'll become unbelievably wealthy. Prosperity gospel, the more you give, the more you get. And people pray for that. Prayers that harm others. Prayers for unearned wealth. Prayers that do not honour God. And we've no right to pray them in Jesus' name. And there's many such prayers. So what do we have a right to pray for? Well, there's an inexhaustible wealth of things that we can pray for. Pray for people to come to faith. Pray for healing. Pray that God's church flourishes. Pray that our own faith develops. How often do we pray for that? Prayer that fulfills the marvelous possibilities that God has created within us. And when we pray, we should have an expectation of God because of the great possibilities that He's created for us and in us. That's why we pray for the recovery of the sick to be fulfilled, so their lives may be fulfilled, so they may become healthy to fulfill the potential God has placed in them. A mother praying for strength and wisdom to raise her children. A soldier praying for courage. A leader praying for wisdom and humility, especially humility. A person for praying for strength to overcome temptation. These prayers share in what God's purposes are for us. You know, when we're praying for a quality that will make us mature and godly in character, then we're praying, Thy will be done. Our Christian faith is not that God was the creator, it's that God is the creator and He's still creating within us. He's still creating potential for us. He's still creating in our church possibilities that if we'll only capture His vision, great things may happen. God's given us the power to share His creation. So when we pray for that that makes us better, stronger, humbler beings, when we're exercising what is our sacred right, our sacred privilege, then His will is being done. Certainly we have a right to pray for those things which will improve our relationships with others. Any prayer for harmony, reconciliation, and understanding is surely saying, Thy will be done. And to pray Thy will be done is the most efficient, effective, sustaining power of love and understanding that we may know. What a transformation we would see if we could only pray Thy will be done when it comes to human relationships. An end to conflict and strife. An end to relationship breakdowns. An end to violence and exploitation. All within our grasp if we earnestly ask God. God brings love into our situation, and it's through this love that we forget who was right or wrong. When God becomes the third party in our disputes, who is right and wrong is unimportant. What's important is that God's will is being done. Certainly, we have the right to pray for that which will increase and improve our fellowship with God. How often do we do that? How often do we say, God, it would be good to know You better. I open myself to You, Lord. come and enter through your Spirit. That's something we have the right to expect. Pray for what you have the right to expect. Expect what you have prayed for. We have the right to expect a deeper relationship with God, yet we rarely pray for that. Maybe you do, but I know that I don't. Let's try something. Can we have the next slide, please? Read over this two or three times. Lord, allow me to draw closer to you. I want to understand your fellowship and your love. Just read that over two or three times. Then I'm going to pray that prayer broken down into a few words at a time. And if you wish to join me, please do. Lord God, draw me closer to you. I want to understand your fellowship and your love. Amen.